Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Well, it's good to be in church today. We had such a great time yesterday at our back-to-school blast. And there's going to be a lot of tired kids here today, but even more tired workers. I tell you, that thing wore me out yesterday. I don't know how, like Naomi and Doug and Maya, well, not really Doug, but Maya, all the people that just work so hard, and it was so hot outside. I'm just so impressed, and they're always so creative with everything that they do to make sure that our kids feel loved. They hear the word all throughout the day. You know, we're getting splashed and going down slides, but there's still elements of a message, elements of a life skill, elements of God loves you all through the day. It's just thrown into everything, and it's just so amazing that from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., through all the fun and all the crazy food and all that kind of stuff, the gospel is still just woven in there just so precisely for every one of these young people. It's just really remarkable what these guys do. And so we got a little video to show you all the fun we had and show you what all of us did, because BBC does this and all the kids had a great time. So who's ready to see some fun? All right, here we go. I have the camera. But we had a great time, and they were only expecting 40 kids, and 59 showed up. Praise the Lord, right? That's awesome. And so a lot of people that don't go to church here showed up and saw it on Facebook, and that's super exciting. And it was fun because people kept driving by, and they'd go really slow like this, like, because, you know, you got 59 little kids running around in swimsuits, and you built a little bit of a water park in the front yard. You're going to get some attention, right? And so it was super fun. All the volunteers did such a great job. We had so many people here that made it happen and out in the heat. And just so thanks to all you. Who's here in this service that was here yesterday working? Just raise your hand up so we can say thanks to you. I think Naomi back there, of course, Maya. So thank you, guys. Great job. They're all the rest are home sleeping. They'll be at second service. I text Pastor Scott and I said, I am so exhausted. I got to come home. But all right, here we go. Who's ready? We're going to close up our series on believe. And it's so important what you believe, because what you believe dictates your actions. Amen. And what you believe also, it dictates how you respond to something, how you respond to people. You know, what you believe about people, it dictates how you respond to them, how you interact with them. You know, if you've heard, let's say you've heard that somebody doesn't like you and they've been talking about you and they've got nothing good to say about you, and you've never heard this for yourself, but you've heard from somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that this person's saying all this about you, and then you've never even met them. And then when you go to meet them, how many know you're going to be a little reserved? You're going to be like, well, you know, I don't know. You know, you might even be ready for a fight because you've heard that this person is talking about you and you believed it. And so it affects how you come into a situation, what you believe. But on the other hand, if you were to hear like, oh, that person has nothing but good to say about you, they can't wait to meet you, they've heard all kind of good stuff about you, and they're just so excited to possibly be friends with you, and they are just looking so forward to meeting you. How many know the difference would be pretty big how you went into that situation? One you'd be looking forward to, and the other you'd be like, I don't know about this. I don't even know if I want to meet that person. What you believe about something dictates how you respond, how you interact, if you depend on that person or not. And so it's so important that we check our beliefs. We got to check our beliefs every once in a while. We got to check up on what we believe. We got to check up on if we have the backing of the Word of God to help us stand in some of the storms. We talked about that last week, overcoming the storms. You've got to believe. Say believe. That whatever happens, whatever comes through the door, whatever phone call you get, whatever piece of mail you get, whatever interaction you have with somebody, you have got to have a belief that's on the inside of you that is so strong, it's bigger than anything you see, feel, touch, taste, or anything, that you are going to be okay because God is on your side. You've got to have that. And if you don't have it, you're going to be tossed all around. You're going to be, as the Bible says in James, tossed like the waves of the ocean, just back and forth. You're going to feel like you're in a pinball game or a ping pong game in your life. You're going to be all over the place. But a strong belief in God, a strong belief in the truth of what the Word of God says, will keep you steady in times of storms. It'll keep, you know, like that song that we sing, is the anchor, right? When, you know, the hope of God is an anchor for it. It holds us. You know, when you have an anchor on a boat, any boaters in here? You know, we grew up with boats, and if you put the anchor down, it really doesn't matter what's going on. You're going to stay in that place. Now, you might go a little bit like this, but you're going to stay there. That's the same thing with the Word of God, with the presence of God, with our knowledge of God. It holds us in times of trouble. Anybody got some times of trouble? And, you know, everybody's got times of trouble. And sometimes we go through more trouble. Sometimes we go through less trouble. There's always going to be trouble. And we need the Word of God, the presence of God, the anointing of God, our belief in God to get us through. Because if you don't have that, it's going to be, trouble's going to have its way with you. And we don't want that, right? And so today, I want to talk to you. I was praying and just seeking God about how to close this all up. And I want to tell you what I believe is the number one thing that you must believe about God. Number one. Really, I believe it's above anything else. And it's also something that a lot of people don't get. You must be, you guys ready? Everybody's like, the number one thing, huh? Number one thing. If you will get this in you, so big and so strong, it will do a good in your life that is hard to explain. If you'll get this. If you'll get it. I got to be honest with you. I got it. And my goal in my life is to help people get this. If you'll get this, it will help in every area of your life. You must believe beyond a shadow of a doubt. No matter what happens, no matter what the Word says, that God is good. You got to get that. Because see, when you know, when that comes, it's not just something like, oh yeah, God's good. No, you know. You know what the difference is? When you're like, yeah, sure. And then there's another knowing. Like the Bible says that Adam and Eve knew each other. They knew each other in the most intimate and deep way possible for two people. They knew each other spiritually, emotionally, physically. They knew each other in every way. When you know something, it doesn't just affect one area of your life, it affects every area of your life. When you know something, it becomes an anchor on the inside of you that holds you strong in times of trouble. And when you know somebody, you know, there's people I have known for over 20 years. I know them. I know them. I know their character. I know how they talk. I know the words that they use. And so if somebody were to come and tell me, you know, I'll be honest with you. Somebody, what are you guys doing? Somebody came and told me something about somebody in my family. They said it was secondhand news, and they said, yeah, so and so said that this person does this all the time. And I said, as soon as I heard it, I said, I do not believe that. I said, I do not believe that at all. And they were like, well, they said they saw it. I said, you know what? I don't know them who said they saw it. How many people said they saw all kind of stuff? How many love it when somebody says, oh, I saw it on TV? Where'd you see it? What show was it? Who is it? Oh, I don't remember, but I saw it. They didn't see it. They want to put more backing to what they think is true. And so when that person said that about my family member, I was like, I don't know them, but I know my family member. And I said, I don't care what you said. I will call them right now because I don't deal in this drama. I will call them right now and I will say, listen, so-and-so is saying you did this. You need to take care of this. Because I'm not going to let these lies go through my family and cause trouble. I'm just not going to do that. Don't ever come and tell me, oh, listen, you can't say anything. You don't tell me what I can say and what I can't. If you don't want to, if your truth is not strong enough to be repeated, don't tell me. Don't tell me. If your truth is going to get you in trouble, I don't want to hear it. And I'm talking about said something about somebody. I mean, there are things that people tell me that I obviously do not repeat. I could write a book, let me tell you. You know, and I keep those confidences. I'm very serious about it. But there are some things that somebody says, listen, I got to tell you something you can't tell anybody, and it's about somebody else. You need to have a discussion, right? Because that you can't just give that promise blanketly. You can't just say, oh, yeah, I won't tell anybody, because sometimes things need to be told, right? But that's another message. But the point is that when you know somebody, it just holds you in that truth, and so lies can't pull you off. And there's a truth that says that I know, when you know that God is good, when his word says no, there is such a knowledge on the inside of you that he is good that you're like, all right. When he says go, because you know how good he is, you're like, let's go. When you say, oh, I got questions, I don't understand, I need answers. You know where the answers come from? The answers come first and foremost in knowing that God is good. Because when you know that God is good, it answers many questions that you have. Many questions that you have. And so we have got to know, you have got to believe that God is good. There are so many people that think that they say, oh yeah, God is good, but then he does this and this and this and this, and you know, and he's keeping me from this and this and this. No, then you don't think God is good. A tree bears good fruit or bad fruit. And God is good. Amen? He is good. And when you have that knowledge on the inside of you, you will follow him more boldly. You will follow him in a more bold manner because you know that he is good and he wants only good and perfect things for you. When you know that God is good, you will not fall for counterfeits. Because you know what? When you hold the counterfeit up to the real deal, you can almost always tell the difference. You know, there's always like counterfeit purses. If you look at a counterfeit purse good enough, you can see it doesn't have the same quality workmanship as the real thing. Because if it had the same quality workmanship as the real thing, guess what? It would be the real thing. But it doesn't have it. The stitching is a little cheaper. All the guys are like, what? All the girls are like, I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. You know, the stitching is not as good. The coloring is off. The piping is off. It's like, I don't want a fake. I want the real thing. But when you know that God is good, when questions come, you'll be able to say, man, I don't have the answer, but I know God is good. I may not understand this fully, but I know God is good, and I'm going to keep following him. I may feel hurt from this situation, but I know that God is good and he's not the author of it. This may not have turned out how I thought it should, but I know that God is good and I'm going to keep walking with him. See, here's how you know if you know God is good. If you know, I mean, you don't understand what I'm saying. It is a knowing in you that you will give your life for. God is good. See, when bad things happen, do you pull away from God or go to God? Because see, if you pull away from him a little bit, then you're blaming him a little bit. You're blaming him a little. And you're not looking at who the author is. You're not, because you know, when you know that God is good, you will know that wasn't his plan, that wasn't his will, that wasn't his way. That's not God. And when you pull away from God when bad things happen, somewhere in there, you're saying, oh, no, I'm not. No, somewhere in there, you're saying, God, where were you? God, what was going on? But when you know he's good, you say, well, if God is so good, how does that happen? Because there's a bad devil out there. There is a fallen world that we live in. There are people that make wrong choices. Hold the mirror up and say, yep, there is. Amen? Yep, yep. There's at least one. There's at least one right here. Say, why do bad things happen? Because there are people that make wrong choices. There is a devil that is out to steal, kill, and destroy. There is a world that has fallen under the power of sin. That is why bad things happen. But God is good. And he loves you. And when you pull away when bad things happen, you're falling right into the enemy's, right into his playbook. Right in there. Because who you need is who you're pulling back from. God is good. When you got that in you so deep, so strong, so powerfully, there is nothing that will pull you off. Nothing. And you will find that you'll be able to go through storms much easier, much quicker, with much less damage in your life when you let the goodness of God pull you through. Amen? All right, let's look at some scriptures here. You know, I don't think most of us in here, including myself, that we've barely tapped the surface of God's goodness. I don't think that it's possible for our minds to understand how good God is. Because Ephesians 3:20 says that he wants to bless us abundantly above anything, what is the rest, we could ask or think. When you think about how good God is, we need to multiply it by beyond what we can even imagine. That's how good he is. And that's how much he wants to bless you. Turn over to John chapter 10, verse number 10. God's really desires to show us his goodness. I'll read this in Exodus 34:6. It says, God is talking to Moses and he says, I will have my goodness pass over you. How many want God's goodness? I don't want it to pass over me. I want it to, I'm in the New Testament, amen? I want it to be on me. I want to live in his goodness. And then John chapter 10, verse number 10, I want to read it to you out of the Amplified. We have it up here. It says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. This is Jesus talking. He says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. How many know that sounds good? God is good. God is good. You're going to hear that about a million times today. You know, it says he wants to live it more abundantly. That's good news, and God wants us to get that. He wants us to get that good life. And we talked last week that the Bible never says that God promises the rose garden, right? There's no tiptoeing through the tulips. There are storms and troubles that come. But that goodness of God, that knowing who God is, that understanding that God wants only good things for you, it will help pull you through hard times. Because how many of us have ever, the Word of God has said something, we have known something, the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, he has told us something, but we have willfully and knowingly walked the other way? You don't have to raise your hand. But here's the thing, and I tell you, I used to struggle so much in my life. I struggled years ago with following and doing what God said. I just had trouble with it. I didn't want to be told what to do, and I didn't want to be told how to do it. I'll just be honest with you. And so when any restriction would come on me, I would just be like, you know, I don't like that. Because I felt that it was restriction. You know, so much so that my mom, she used to call me, and she would call me, no matter how old I was, she would call me, and her first word, I would say, hello. Isn't that how you answer the phone? Hello. And she would say, what are you doing? Or she would say, where are you? Where are you? And I'd be, you know, I'm in my 30s now, you know, and I'd be like, on the inside, like, everything in me would just boil a little bit, like, and, you know, she didn't mean anything by where I am. Why do you need to know where I was, right? And I'd be like, well, why do you care? Why do you need to know where I am? Why do you need to know where I am? I'm 35 years old. I am an adult. I am an adult. But you know what it is? So one day, you know, because I was a little jerky about it, I'd be like, Mom. And she'd be like, I just want to know where you are in case you're somewhere where I need something. She wasn't like, where are you? Are you doing something bad? No, she's like, hey, where are you at? But I didn't take it that way. My perception was she was trying to control me. My perception, what I believed, was wrong. She wasn't trying to control me. And so when it comes to when you don't understand how good God is, you can look at his boundaries for your life. You can look at those as control. And you can, you know, your feathers get ruffled a little bit. Right? You're like, don't ruffle my feathers. Don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me what to do. Don't try to control me. And see, if that's your attitude about God and his boundaries, then you don't know how good he is. It wasn't until I learned how good God is, and I got a greater revelation of how much he loved me, that suddenly I didn't look at it as rules. I didn't look at it as control. I looked at it as boundaries that of love. That God wasn't trying to keep me from anything. He was trying to help me to live that John 10:10 life. And the more I grew in that knowledge, the more I walked in that, when God would be like that, you know, the Holy Spirit would be like, that's not for you. All right, that's not for me. That's not for me. And there are some times you're like, ooh, but I really want to do that, right? I really want to do that. But then I got to go back to how much God loves me, how good God is. And I got to look at that and say, my God loves me so much. He is so good to me. He is so good for me. He wants only good in my life. He wants me to have a good life, an abundant life, a life that overflows. And so if he says, that's not for me, I'm going to agree. Even though I want to do it, I'm going to agree because I know that God is good. And when God says, hey, you need to forgive that person, and everything on the inside of you rises up and says, no, right? I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to smack them. I'm going to make their life miserable. We got to step back and say, no, God is good. And he wants that good life for me. See, when you know how good God is, you follow him with a boldness that you've never had before. Because you know that wherever he's taking you, it's good. Whatever he has for you, it's good. Whatever he's asked you to do, whatever he's asked of you, there is goodness on the other side of your obedience. Because he is good. Let's keep going. He is so good. But you know, again, people have such a messed up perception of God is totally skewed by reasons of what we see, what we think, what we've been taught, some stuff that's happened in our life. And how we see God is filtered by how we feel and our circumstances. And that's wrong. How we see God should be built on who he is. Don't you, you know, just like that example in the beginning when I said, oh, somebody's so excited to see you. They can't wait to meet you. They're really looking forward to it, right? Our perception is going to be like, hey, I'm really going to like this person because they really like me. They want to meet me, so I want to meet them. But see, if you've heard about God, well, God, you know, he takes people. You know, people always say, oh, we prayed that God would take them. That is not an accurate prayer. God does not take people. God receives people. Amen. He receives people. That's what God does. When we look at things and we're not sure, well, who did that? Is that God or is that the enemy? Or what happened there? We've got to go back to, well, God is good. Is it good? If it's not good, then it's not God. Amen. That's just all there is to it. If it's not good, it's not God. And so, and we think of it, we say, like Pastor Steve just said, that's easy. But why do we have such a hard time about it with God? Why do we have such a, because the enemy's number one thing is to deceive you. Turn over your Bibles to James chapter 1. Let's skip down a little bit. James chapter 1. Let's look at what this says here. We find James. Somebody moved it. I hate when that happens. Hello, James. Where'd you go? Why could I not find James? Isn't James? Oh, there it is. I was like, isn't James right after Peter? Yes. I mean, right after Hebrews? Yes, it is. James chapter 1, verse number 16. It says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So whenever I've taught you guys this before, whenever you see brethren, it's talking to believers, and it says, do not be deceived. So the Bible says, do not be deceived. That means I can be deceived. And then right after that, it says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He says, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect thing comes from God. And so if we know that, we need to ask ourselves, well, what is good? What is good? Let me ask you this question. What is good? Having to, we'll say, a free lunch, is that good? Yeah, that's pretty good. What's good? A bag full of trash? Or a bag full of money? It's, you guys are good at this. You're doing well. What's good? what's good? Getting a big parking ticket or not getting a parking ticket? Not getting a parking ticket. What's good? All your favorite shows on TV with no commercials? Right? That'd be great, right? That'd be good. But the thing is, for some reason, when it comes to God, we can say like, oh, that's good, that's bad. That's good, that's bad. That's good, that's bad. But then when it comes to the things of God, we're like, oh, I don't know. Is that God? And the Bible says he has no variation and no shadow of turning. God is good. He's good. All the time. And so, you know, the thing is, how many like M&Ms? Anybody like M&Ms? How many like the party size bag of M&Ms? Right? Now, we all like M&Ms. How many of us would agree that the, now let's not talk about calories or dieting. Let's just talk about M&Ms all by themselves. How many believe that M&Ms are good? Right? M&Ms are good. Now, I have a picture to show you. This is Mozzie. See? That's Mozzie. Now, we agree that these are good, right? And how many want to put your hand in here and eat some? Well, Pastor C, will you be my helper today? This bag of M&Ms, I let Mozzie lick. I let him suck on them a little bit, and he really enjoyed it. And so now these are good, right? These are good. These, how many want these? Where's his face? He licked them. He was like, with his little tongue, and he's like, ooh, those are good. Now watch this. Shake it up, please. Good job. All right, now who wants to put their hand in there and eat them? They're not so good now, are they? Some are like, I'll risk it. But see, the thing is, that's exactly how we are with God, because now, you know what you'd be doing? You'd be like, now, what color were those ones that the dog had? Let me see, right? You'd be kind of like, oh, that looks good. I'll eat that, right? You know, you're not going to dive in here like you did before. But you know what? That's exactly how it is with God. When you don't have that firm conviction that God is good, you hesitate to dive in. You hesitate to give him your whole heart. You hesitate to surrender your life to him because you're like, I don't know, there might be stuff in there that ain't good. But you know what? With God, it's all good. Yes. It's all good. And you know what? The truth is, I didn't really let Mozzie eat any of those. So the truth, even though he is so cute, and I would eat him anyway because he gives me big kisses anyway, and I know some of you non-dog people are like, that's disgusting. That's okay. But the thing is that some of you guys, you're thinking that there's Mozzie M&Ms in here. When it comes to God, you're like, well, I just don't get that. I don't understand that. I don't know why that happened. I don't know this and I don't know that. And you need to say, I know that God is good, and dig in. Because what you're looking for is not found in all those questions. What you're looking for first God knows you have questions. And I've always said God's not afraid of your questions. But before you can get your questions answered, you got to get a truth in you that is God is good. Because once you have that, the answers are just going to flow. The answers are just going to come. And you're going to be like, man, but you can't put the cart before the horse. How many of you ever heard that story? You can't put the cart before the horse. And some of us are like, why can't you put the cart before the horse? Because if the cart is in front of the horse can't pull the cart. He can't pull it. And it, maybe you can, Candy might be able to get a horse to push it, but the rest of us would just be like, this ain't working, right? Because that's not how it works. And so we're trying to get answers. We're trying to have peace. We're trying to move forward in our lives. We're trying to live for God. But if you don't know that God is good, you will never surrender to him. If you don't know that God is good, when he says no, you're going to be like, well, why? What's the deal? Why can't I do that? I want to do it. I'm going to do it anyway. And then you're going to be doing cleanup. And then you're going to be like, why am I doing this cleanup? Because you didn't trust a good God when he said no. Amen? And so see, when we know that God is good, his goodness literally will pull you through hard choices, hard times, storms, questions. It will pull you through. It will pull you out of darkness. It will pull you out because when those questions come, we have a choice. We can say, I'm going to stay here in my questions. I'm going to stay here in my doubt. I'm going to stay here and think and look and just pick one at a time and say, oh, no, we need to dive in and say, God, I know that you're good. I know there is no shadow of variance. I know that the word says if you gave your son Jesus, what would you hold from me? Nothing. God's not going to withhold anything that is good from you because he gave you Jesus. What is better than giving your only son? Nothing. And so I encourage everybody in here. If you've been struggling, you know, I can't tell you how many years I had one foot in and one foot out. One foot in church. Man, when I was in church, I was in church. But the thing is, I was constantly getting out of church. And when I say in church, that means I was living for Jesus. I gave him my life. I surrendered to him. But then something would come up and I'd be like, but I really want to do that. And I know that doesn't go with church. That doesn't line up with this, but I'm going to go do it anyway. And then I'd have to clean up. I'd just be in a cleanup phase, in a broken phase, in a hurt phase, in a confused phase. And then I'd come coming back to church. And I never could understand, man, why can't I get it together? Anybody ever say that to yourself? Why can't I get it together? I love God. I love God. Why can't I just stick with him? Why can't I just do what do what his word says? Why can't I do it? Because deep down I wasn't sure he was good. I wasn't sure that where he was taking me was where I wanted to go. I wasn't sure because I had been raised in a denomination that said that God would put stuff on you to teach you. I was raised that God would withhold stuff from you just because he could. I was raised that you couldn't have things. I was raised that you needed to be poor. I was raised that if you were a woman and wanted to be in ministry, you had to go to China or something. That's how I was raised. And so it took a while for me to get retaught and understand that, man, my God is good. And he wants good things for me. I tell you, the goodness of God will pull you through the hardest times. But if you're always like holding back from him because you got a bunch of questions, you got to put the horse first. Jump into the goodness of God. Trust him to be the good God that he says he is. He'll pull you through and he'll answer your questions on the way. Amen. God is good. Let's look at one last scripture before we leave. Turn over to Psalms 103. It's one of my favorite portions of scripture. Psalms 103. Let's look at how good God is. I believe just by the Spirit of God, well, I know this is true, even if the Holy Ghost didn't rise up in me and kind of say it. There's some people in here today, you're on the fence. Maybe nobody knows you're on the fence, but you, because of some things that have happened, you've pulled back from God because of some stuff. And God's saying, you need to dive into this bag, because what you need is in Him. This other fill and fix that you're getting, it's a counterfeit. Counterfeits wear out and don't last. They don't last. And it's just a fix. You can either get a fix for a moment, or you can get healing for a lifetime. The choice is yours. But it's all in who you choose. God made us where we make our own choices. So you can settle for the fix for the moment that maybe whatever brings. Or you can say to yourself, I want something different. I want something that lasts. And you can dive in with all your hurt, all your pain, all your questions and say, Lord, I trust that you're good. Take me through this. But it's your choice. And here in Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord. This is David writing. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Say, all that is within me. That's it. How many got some stuff in you don't want anybody to know about? We all do. How many got some stuff from your past you don't want anybody to know, or maybe they do know, but nobody understands? The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. God will take all that is within you, and He will pull you through. He says, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Listen, this is the God who loves you, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made His way known. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. And it goes on. It talks about just how good God is. You want your life pulled out of destruction? God can do that. You want healing? God can do that. You need forgiveness? God can do that. Why? Because God, not only can He wants to. He wants to, because God is good. He's good. And I tell you, say, well, this, I already knew that. There's one thing of knowing, and there's another thing of living it. You got to live the truth that God is good. And in the times we live in, there's so much being said about God. There's so much being said about God's ways. There's so much being said about God's standard. And there's a point in us that says, you know, like, man, you know, I know what the word says, but we've all done that. And then we say all the things we think, but you need to have another but in that sentence. I know what the word says, but blah, 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 but I know God is good. I'm going to stick with Him. I'm going to stick with God. It may not be popular. It may not be easy. It may not be comfortable, but it is the way to live a John 10:10 life. God is good. And I just know in my spirit, man, there's somebody you've just been picking out like, I don't know because what I heard. I don't know because what happened. I don't know because of this. Dive into God's word and let God show you Himself how good He is. You know how I learned how good God is? I finally read the Bible for myself. I quit letting other people, you know, things that I had heard from here or heard from there. I got some good teaching from an awesome man of God, and I read the Bible for myself, and it was like God was telling me, and it changed me. I've never been the same since. And now, when bad things happen, but I know it's not God, and I know God's strength is there to help me. I don't walk away from the one who can help me. because God is good. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, my heart's desire today is that everyone in this place, that, Lord, that these words have penetrated their heart. That, Lord, that they would do what your word said. They would taste and see the goodness of God. Oh, I just thank you, Lord, that everyone in this room, that Holy Spirit, that you would help us all to see and understand and have a knowledge that goes from our head to our toes that God is good. Oh, that it would just be so deeply rooted in us that we cannot be moved off of it, that it is our truth that we live by, that God is good. He is our strong tower. He is our helper in times of trouble. He is our redeemer. He is our forgiver. He is our healer. He is our helper. He is our truth. Oh, Lord, help us to know that we know that we know that we know that God is good. That is our prayer today. And Lord, I pray for anyone here that is having this wishy-washy. You're wishy-washy about some things. You're like, but this. Oh, that you would just taste and see. Put your hand in the bag and grab a handful of God and taste and see that He is good. Oh, that is my prayer. Lord, there are so many here that are just, they feel hurt from relationships. They feel hurt from loss. They feel hurt from life not being the way that it was supposed to be. They feel hurt because they were victimized. They feel hurt because of whatever there is. But Lord, I would ask you to show them that you were not the author of that, and that you are good, and that you are the healer of all things that are broken. Oh, we just thank you, Lord, that you show all of us and help us walk in a deeper understanding that you are good. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. So I'll say amen. Amen. Oh, God is good. I want you to say that at least 5 times today. God is good. God is good. I tell you, there's a world that needs to hear that God is good. There's a world that needs to hear it. You know how they're going to hear it? From you and from me. Amen? So let's just remind, we need to remind ourselves, God is good. Amen. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. Who's ready?